Stories from the Past. Stories from the lives of the infallibles. Stories from different parts of the world. On the Lantern.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear friends, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, you are listening to Lantern. We have an interesting story. The title of this story is The Name of a Person, Jaun ibn Huwai. On the night before Ashura, Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him, and the companions freed all their slaves, but 16 would not leave. Amongst them was an Abyssinian called Jaun ibn Huwai. Imam Ali, peace be upon him, had given Jaun to Abu Dharr. Abu Dharr freed him, but Jaun stayed on with Abu Dharr as a companion. When Abu Dharr was exiled from Medina, Jaun went back to Imam Ali, peace be upon him, who invited him to stay on as his companion. When Imam al-Hussein left Medina, Jaun insisted on accompanying him. At Karbala, Jaun could always be seen at the side of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him. He was an old man. Because of his profound knowledge and pleasant manners, he was greatly respected by all. Jaun spent the whole night of Ashura sharpening his sword. On the following day, he helped in the repelling the first two attacks from Yazid's army. At midday after the Zuhr prayer, Jaun came to the Imam and stood slightly with his arms folded. Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam looked at Jaun and said, Jaun, I know you have come for my permission to go to the battlefield. You have been a good and trusted friend. I will not deny you martyrdom for Islam. Jaun smiled happily. He faced the enemy and recited a poem which said, I am a soul willing to die for Allah and have a sword thirsty of the blood of the enemies of Allah. Before I die, I shall fight the enemies of Allah with my sword and my tongue. And thus shall I serve the grandson of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his pure progeny. Jaun fought courageously, all the time reciting the poem. He received several mortal blows, but his recitation of the poem continued. Jaun fell from his horse. He still continued to fight with his tongue by reciting the poem. And then a few horsemen moved to where he lay. Jaun, the Abyssinian, was silenced.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi-nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the case of racism in Islam. In the beginning, it must be indicated that racism is highly abominable and strictly rejected in Islam. Throughout the history, we find that there were some people who favored racism. For example, in the ancient Arabian context, you find that some lords of Mecca, since they were rich people, they regarded themselves to be superior to those people who were not rich and who were, for example, poor people of the Meccan community. Or, for example, at that time, because there were some colored servants usually brought from African peoples to Mecca, some lords of Mecca thought that because of their skin color, which was brighter than those of African colored people, they thought of themselves to be superior to others. You find that this was quite wrong. The muezzin of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Bilal, and Bilal was an African. Bilal was a colored person, and he reached the status of being selected as the special muazzin of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So find that in the Islamic region, racism is rejected right from the beginning, and nobody has the slightest right to regard oneself as to be, superior to others. Even in the world of knowledge and scholarship, we find that, no teacher, no professor, no expert in any field, may think of, provided with the slightest permission to regard him or herself to be superior to others simply because of his knowledge. In the Holy Quran, it's asserted, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asserts thus in the Holy Quran, وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. You haven't been given of knowledge save just a small quantity, a small portion. So nobody may boast of his or her knowledge. Compared with the vast divine knowledge, well, we haven't acquired anything, we haven't learned anything. In the Holy Quran, we find that one of the earliest creatures who showed his dissidence against God, against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was Iblis, Satan. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam, and because of this noble creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered all angels to prostrate themselves. All the divine angels prostrated themselves, save Satan. Satan never prostrated in appreciation to God's creation. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Satan for his dissidence, he said that, you created Adam from clay and you created me from fire. And since Satan regarded fire to be superior than clay as his origin, Satan never prostrated himself. So you find that this was the earliest sign of racism. Satan regarded his own race as originated from fire to be superior to man as created from clay. You find that this kind of attitude is very much abominable. And throughout history, there have been some people who regarded their own race, their own nationality, their own family or tribe to be superior to others, while all of us, all people are equal before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The Lantern.
Under the light of lantern, we'll look at the story which indicates a moral aspects of our life.
Please note carefully that among the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were some people who, before the joining the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were workers, they were servants of other people. But when they joined the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, first of all, they got liberated from the bondages of slavery, and turned into free people, and they were great men. They proved to be great men who accomplished very great projects. At the same time, you find that in the ancient Arabian community, this was a prevailing idea that Arabs were preferred to others, preferred to non-Arabs. They regarded non-Arabs as dependents, mawali. This is because they believed that non-Arabs didn't have any right to live independently. And non-Arabs, and they regarded non-Arabs to be people who had to depend on the helps of a single or certain Arab community or Arab tribe. Another reason for racism is skin color. Well, skin color is a function of many genetic origins, because of the climates of certain parts of the world. For example, when you go to northern European countries, you find that people's skin color is bright, white and bright. But when you go to Africa, you find that okay, their skin color is dark. Well, I mean, this is because of the situation. I mean, climatic situation. At the same time, you find that such a kind of discrimination based on skin color is utterly rejected in the Holy Quran from the Islamic perspective. The Holy Quran says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أَنَّ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ. The Holy Quran says, O people, we have created you, I mean, from among men and women, male and female, and we have created you in the form of peoples and tribes so that you would identify yourselves. Certainly the best of you before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most pious of you. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ. Certainly Allah knows everything in the best way. Thank you.
That was all for today. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we continue this topic on the next episode. Till then, may Allah bless all of you. Fi amanillah. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub.